So you guys doing good?
Yeah.
Awesome. I'm Jordan, and I've been working with Fayez and Titus for like a year, just training for pastoral ministry. Anyways, I'm married. My wife's Tara. Anybody know Tara McNew? She's hauling it. Oh, she's right here. Awesome. Yeah, she's beautiful. Awesome. Sexy. She's here tonight. This is cool. So if you guys have your Bible, you can turn to Psalms 32. That's what we'll be. Does anybody have a Bible here? Okay, does anybody want a Bible? We have tons of Bibles. Anybody need one? Anybody? Okay, cool. So you guys are doing good. Anybody want to share a high of their week, something that's awesome that's happened this week? Okay. You ran, that's a good thing?
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome.
Hey, I just got out of
the Right on. Anybody else? Anything? Any testimony? Like what God's doing or showing you or teaching you? Anything? I just want to, you know, like get to know you guys a little bit, so. No? It's all good. Cool beans. Well, Psalms 32. When I was just praying about what to speak on, obviously you have the whole Bible, so that can be kind of difficult. It's like, well, where do you go? I've only been a part of this church for a little over 2.5 years, if that. Here's what can happen. Like in our walk with Christ, there's two places we could be. There's a place where it's like, I'm hiding in sin. Like I know what I'm doing is not right, and I'm feeling like ugh about it. Anybody experience that? Pretty much everybody. Yeah, you experience the ugh, like this is ugh, why am I dealing with this? And you're a Christian, you're a believer. You know God loves you. You know that Jesus died for your sins, right? But there's this reality of I'm not walking in the fullness of what He's paid for. I'm not walking in the freedom that Jesus came to die for me to walk in. Like He says, it's for what's so funny? What? It's okay. You can share it. Okay, anyways, it's all good. We're friends. But so you have that extreme of like I'm like hiding from God, like I know He loves me, I know Jesus paid for my sins, but I'm oppressed and I'm just struggling with this sin, but I don't want to talk about it. And then you have the other extreme where it's like I'm a believer, but and I know this is really bad and I'm trying to overcome this sin and I've confessed it to God, but I feel horrible about it. Anybody ever experienced that? Where it's just, you're like, how could He ever even, like, I know He says He loves me, but how could He love me? I know how I feel about this. I know in my own life, like, I've dealt with horrible, horrible sin that it's like, you don't want to tell anybody about it, if you guys know what I mean. Just things that it's like, I'm never going to tell anybody about that. Just between me and God, just don't let me have to tell anybody else. And so that's, as I was praying, I think that, here's what you need to know. Like, Jesus did not die for us and rise from the dead and pay for our sins just so that we can be good people. Just so that we can read our Bible and come to Firehouse, right? And try not to smoke pot or, you know, do bad things and try to do good things. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's more than that. It's more than just, I want you to live right. God actually created you guys to know Him, to be in relationship with Him. But here's the problem with that. If I'm living over here in this place of I'm hiding from God because of my sin, you're not in relationship with God, right? Or if I'm over here and I'm about my sin, you're not in right relationship with the Lord. Does that make sense? And so my prayer tonight is that that Christ would set us free. And I believe that there's somebody, most of us probably, everybody deals with sin, obviously. But I believe God wants to literally set some of you free tonight. And it starts. We'll just go to Psalms 32, and this is a Psalm of David. It's a song, like Psalms are songs, and so it's a song that David wrote, and he wrote it basically after sinning really bad. He did something awful, you know. Anybody ever done something awful? Yes. Okay. So we can relate to David's awful sin. Verse 1. We'll start there. It says, "Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord does not count iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deception. The first thing I want to point out is blessed. Whenever you see the word blessed in the Bible, do you know anybody know what that means? Does anybody know what that means? Blessed, like people say, oh, I'm blessed. It literally means happy, like I'm happy or I'm joyful. So he's saying the person whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered, against whom the Lord accounts no iniquity, that person's happy. The person's full of joy. And there's no deception in their spirit. And he's saying, he's like, man, being right with God is amazing. And then look at the next thing he says. For, or because, when I kept silent, what does it say? My bones wasted away. My bones wasted away when I kept silent, through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. So what he's saying is I kept silent. Like, I have this sin in my life, but I'm not talking to God about it. And have you noticed, like, when you like willingly choose to go into sin, like, your prayer life just tanks. Like, you stop talking to God. It's because it's like he's kind of like, hey, let's talk about that. And you're kind of like, oh, I don't want to talk about that. I kind of just want to have this over here, right? So your prayer life tanks. Your relationship with God tanks. And so what happens as a result of your communication not being there with God like it should be is the first thing he says is my bones wasted away. And that's just the idea of your strength is just gone. And I know in my life, and I'll just run through this with you guys. I was in a season of my life where I was leading a prayer meeting, like on Saturday mornings. We had guys, some guys your age, would come out like 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock, and we'd just pray, and we'd just worship the Lord for 2 hours. And our cry was just, God, we just pray that God would just break strongholds in our city, you know, that our friends would come to Christ, that we would fully surrender to Jesus. And we saw amazing things happen. Like, God, like there was a person that was, this lady, she was just walking by as we were praying, and just the presence of God was there. And she was so overwhelmed by God's presence that she walked up to us and was crying, like, I want to know Jesus. And we're like, what? Like, we're just sitting there praying, and this lady comes up to us asking us about Christ. And I was leading this group. But here's what happened, though. Like, here I am leading this prayer meeting on Saturday, and yet in my private life, like, I started just going astray. Like, I started not pursuing Jesus like I was. Like, I was still involved in youth group. I was still going. I was at another church at the time, but I'm worshiping, but I'm not feeling like connected to God like I used to. I'm getting dry. You guys know what I'm talking about? You ever experienced that? I don't want to go into detail about the things, but there was this obvious sin in my life. And the people that used to really be blessed by my ministry or, you know, by me, they were kind of fading away. Like, there's something fake about them, you know? And it got to the point where it was like three of us left. It started out like with 40 of us just getting together and praying. At the end of it, it was like three of us. And I was too proud to admit that, like, I was in sin. And I just, my bones were wasting away. I was feeling just, ugh. And I remember one day, finally, I'll get that there later. But the next part, it says, when I kept silent through my groaning all day long. He's talking about, like, depression. Like, when you're straying away from God, all of a sudden you're like, what am I living for? Like, because I'm doing all these things that the world says makes me happy, right? But what is our joy found in as Christians? What did God make us for? It's to know Him, right? It's to glorify Him. So when we're going, to think about this, guys. When you turn towards sin, you're turning away from God. It's not just like you're turning away from His will. You're turning away from Him. You know what I mean? And so that's what I was doing. And I started feeling depression. Like, my journals got really dark. Like, where they used to be very excited and happy. Like, now it's like, I'm just depressed, and, you know, it was bad. And then next it says, day and night your hand was heavy upon me, and my strength was dried up as by the heat of the summer. And so he's talking about, like when we're in sin, the Holy Spirit convicts us, right? Like, the Holy, do you know what conviction means? I don't know. You guys know what that means? Okay, so that's like when the Holy Spirit says, don't do that. Like, you're going somewhere and you shouldn't go there, and you know it. And you're like, eh. And the Holy Spirit's like, hey, don't go there, you know? He's telling you to stop. And that's what David's feeling. He's in sin. He's not confessing. And he's feeling this weight come down on him of the Holy Spirit. Like, you need to get out of here. You need to stop doing this. You need to be real with me. And so finally, he's just in a spiritual dry place where it's like, and that's exactly where I was. I was in a place of, I wasn't encountering God. Like, I'd worship the Lord. I'd go to church, but I wasn't being full of the Holy Spirit. You know, if you could put Job chapter 20 up there, that verse I told Manny about it. If you guys, yeah, okay. So let me read this real quick. This is a story about a person who's hiding sin secretly, and nobody knows about it, but only him and God, right? It says, though evil is sweet in his mouth, and though he hides it under his tongue, though he is loath to let it go and holds it in his mouth, yet his food is turned in his stomach. It is the venom of cobras within him. He swallows down riches, but he vomits them up again. God casts them out of his belly. So he's trying to enjoy good things in life, and it just, he can't even taste it. It just tastes like venom. And then finally it says, he will suck the poison of cobras. The tongue of a viper will kill him. In the next verse, it says, look at this. He will not look upon the rivers, the streams flowing with honey and curds. And the New King James Version, it says, he will not see the streams, the rivers, and the brooks. And whenever you see streams, rivers, and brooks, a lot of times in the Old Testament or New Testament, it's talking about the Holy Spirit. You guys ever been to a spring and you jump in and it's refreshing? And you're like, oh my gosh, it's cold, but it's refreshing. Or you go surfing when it's like December, or anybody go surfing recently? It's freezing cold. Okay. So it's like a shocking refreshing, right? That's like the Holy Spirit. Like, when we encounter God, it's like this refreshing, like, oh man, I needed that. But this person who's hiding sin, like, they aren't tasting that. They're not experiencing the refreshing of the Holy Spirit. And so he's just saying, here's the big idea. He's saying, there's nothing better than being in right relationship with God. There's nothing better than being real with God. And he says, and basically in verse 3 and 4, he's saying, because hiding sin is miserable, right? It's miserable. And so he says in verse 5, he's like, and therefore I acknowledge my sin to you. He's saying, God, I'm tired of living in this. I'm tired of hiding this. I'm tired of faking it. I'm tired of coming to Firehouse and acting like everything's okay when I know there's things in my life that I haven't dealt with, right? I'm gonna acknowledge my sin to you. What's awesome is acknowledge my sin. It literally means like to throw it down. Like, imagine like this big weight on your shoulder and you just, I'm throwing it off. That's how sin is. It's like a massive boulder on you, and you finally just forget it. Lord, I give it to you. I acknowledge my sin to you. I didn't cover my iniquity. So he's no longer trying to hide his sin. But he says, but instead, I'm going to confess. I'm going to open my mouth and talk to the Lord about this and confess what I've done to the Lord. And here's the awesome thing. Look what it says. Anybody read the last part? My transgressions to the Lord and what? You guys want to say it? You guys don't get really involved here. Iniquity of my sin. Okay. Let me clarify something, because iniquity is kind of like, what does that mean? You know? It's iniquity. Think of icky, like icky, iniquity, icky. It's icky sin. Because literally in the Hebrew, it means like grossness. So when you see the word iniquity, just remember icky. All right. And then he said, I'll confess my transgressions. That's like, it's like when you go on private property. Okay. I'll say this. This is really bad, but I don't even know if I should tell you guys this. I climbed on top of First Baptist, like back like 7 years ago when I didn't go here. It was just after high school. Me and my buddy were bored. It was like 2 a.m. and we're like, let's go climb on top of fire. This is horrible. Now, if you guys do this, then I'm not getting in trouble for it, but, cause this is bad. I'm talking about a bad story, but, we climbed all the way on top of First Baptist. We were leaning up against the cross. Like, that thing is really high up there. It's like 40 feet in the air. And we're hanging out up there, and it became our habit. Like, we literally, after school, would be like, hey, bro, let's go hang out on top of First Baptist. Oh, cool. And we'd just go hang out up there. And it's crazy. One time we're hanging out up there, and our other friend calls us, and she's like, I hope that you're not on top of First Baptist right now. And I'm like, why? You know, like, I'm looking around. She's like, there are cops, like, looking up toward the roof right now. And it looks kind of sketchy. And I'm like, oh, I gotta go. So now we're like crawling up to the edge, like looking down, and there's cops literally like looking around, and we're like, we're gonna get arrested or something because we're trespassing, right? Trespassing. So when you hear the word transgressions, think of trespassing. It's like God saying, you can't go here. And you're like, oh, I'll go there, you know? And so transgression is to trespass against the Lord. It's like a willing, nope, I'm going to do it. And here's the awesome news. He forgave the iniquity of my sin. Here's what I want to really touch on with you guys. In Ephesians chapter 2, if you could put that up there. What time is it right now? Cool. Look at this verse, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. Anybody want to read this? Anybody? Cool, go for it.
But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ.
All right, can you read it again? Thank you.
But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ.
Okay, so what Paul's saying is because of our sin, because we're all sinners, what's happened is, here we had unity with God. Guess what happened? There we are now. Way over there. Way over there. And what happened through the cross, what's awesome is, let's go back to verse 1 and I'll explain that. Just remember that you're way over there, right? Anybody want to go sit over there as an example? Okay. Brant? Is it Brent? Brent? Okay. Brent's going to be our example. Okay, this is awesome. Okay. I totally forgot my backpack because I was going to do something really funny with him. And we're all going to beat him up and tie him up naked, but we can't do that. Let's go back to verse 1. Okay. Of Psalms 32. Okay, look at this. Happy is the one whose transgression is forgiven. Transgression. What was that? What is transgression?
To trespass.
That's right. Awesome. You guys totally did your job. Transgression means to trespass. Forgiven. Here's an amazing thing. That word forgiven in Hebrew is to lift up. So you think about that weight. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to give Brent some weight. Actually, can you hold? No, I don't want to give you concrete. You can hold that. Okay, so now what happens is he's now got the weight of sin on him, right? That's the weight of sin. The next thing is, okay, so you got transgression forgiven, right? And now you got whose sin is covered, right? Why would we need to cover our sin? What does sin leave us feeling? Icky. What did Adam and Eve do when they sinned against the Lord? What was the first thing they did?
They hid underneath.
Exactly. They hid. Why? Why did they hide?
They were
ashamed. And that's what sin does to us. Doesn't it make you want to hide? Do you think our natural reaction is, I sinned. Hey, everybody, look at me. This is what I did.
No,
like our recoil by nature, what we want to do is hide like Brent over here in the corner. He's got weights on him. Like I said, I'd love to strip him naked because that would be realistic to what's happening right now to all of us. Because look, whose sin is covered. And then look at the next verse. Verse 2. I just spat on you guys. Sorry. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity. That's a kind of complicated verse. But basically what he's saying is, sin puts a target on you, right? But what he's saying is, happy is the man against whom the Lord doesn't put a target on you. So what was your name again?
Dustin.
So imagine, like, because of our sin, there's a big target on Dustin's head, right? Or because of Dustin's sin. Actually, there's a target on all of our heads. Does that make sense? Because of our sin. So now, not only is Brent carrying weight, and not only is he stripped naked, but there's a big old target on his head, and that's called God's what? God's judgment. God's judgment. And so get this, guys. Okay, what David is saying is, blessed is the man against whom, whose sins are forgiven. So look what happens. How does God forgive us? Anybody want to throw that out? Jesus. And let me explain this, and then we'll be done, okay? It's not right. I'll just say this. It's not right for God to forgive sinners. It's not fair. You ever think about the people who have, you think of Hitler. Can you imagine, like, that's awesome, Brent. Thank you. He's doing a great job. Hey, think about this, guys. Pay attention. Can you imagine if Hitler was actually captured and then we were just ready to just pounce on him and just beat the snot out of him? But then all of a sudden, the judge who is dealing with Hitler said, Hitler, we forgive you. Can you imagine if that room was full of Jews? Think about what the Jews would have thought. They would have been like, oh, well, you can forgive him, but we're going to beat the snot out of him, right? Because in us, there's a desire that hey, that's not right. Something should be done about that, right? Something should be done about that. There shouldn't be Christians that are persecuted for just loving Jesus. That ain't right. And so what God does, because he here's two things about God. He's loving, but he's holy. Say that. He's loving, but he's holy. And so in God's love, guess what he does? He forgives us. But because of his holiness, he has to deal with our sins. So imagine this. Imagine here's Brent. He's sinned. The weight of sin is bearing down on him. Well, Jesus is going to put that on himself. Imagine that's Jesus, right? And then the nakedness, well, what does Jesus do? He covers him with his blood. He covers Brent with his righteousness. But what happens? What happens to the shame? What happens to the ickiness? It transfers to who? To Jesus. And last of all, what happens to the target on his head? It's put away, but who's it put onto? Onto Jesus. So get this, guys. The reason we're forgiven of our sins is not, you're not forgiven because of what you guys do. I can't take the target of God's judgment and wrath off of me. You can't take it off of you. By nature, the Bible says we're children of wrath. So what do you have to do to go to hell? Nothing. We're already destined for hell. That's the reality of the Bible. What do you have to do to be saved? The only thing you can do is trust that Jesus took your place. If Jesus Christ doesn't pay for your sins, then we do. Then we do. So forgiveness is not based on what I do. It's not about... I've talked to so many people that say... I say, are you a Christian? They say, yes. And I say, okay, if you were to stand before God today... Thanks, Brent. Are we good on time? If you were to stand before God today, then how do you know you go to heaven? And they say, well, because I go to church, because my parents are Christians, because I read my Bible, because I pray, because I don't listen to Justin Bieber, right? It's like, that. What does that have to do with the target on your head? Nothing. It's not going to separate the target on your head. Let me see here. It's not what you don't do. It's not that you don't smoke. It's not that you don't have sex with your boyfriend or girlfriend. That has nothing to do with our forgiveness at all. And it doesn't... Here's another thing, guys. And here's what I want to really emphasize. It doesn't have to do with how I feel. Because here's what happens, guys. When I sin, how do you feel when you sin?
Guilty.
Guilty, right. But according to Psalms chapter 32, verse 5, it says, I acknowledged my sin to God, right? I threw it down. I didn't cover it. I wasn't trying to cover it up with fig leaves, right? I said, I confess my sin to the Lord. And look what it says. And you forgave the iniquity of my sin. You forgave the iniquity of my sin. And so forgiveness has nothing to do with how we feel. And so here's what I want to say. For you people, for us tonight that are hiding sin, it's going to wear you out. You will get depressed. You're not going to be full of the Holy Spirit. You're not going to be able to minister to other people. It'll rot you out because you're created to know Jesus. And in 1 John it says he who says he has fellowship with God but walks in darkness, it's impossible. It's like, how can I walk toward you and my wife at the same time? I can't. I either have to walk toward my wife or toward her. Does that make sense? So that's what I want to challenge you guys to, is the first group of you guys that are hiding it. Just bring it to the light. And God will meet you with the sacrifice of Christ that's already been paid for. And then second of all, for us that are feeling like overwhelmed about something that's icky and nasty in our life, confess it to God, because here's the reality. Jesus Christ became icky for us. He took our yuck on himself. The Bible literally says that Jesus became sin. So imagine like the sin literally transferred onto Jesus, and now he's the filth of the nations. That's what the Bible says that happened to Jesus on the cross. And then God poured out his judgment on Jesus so that we can be free. And it's as simple as saying, God, I did this. This is what happened. I confess it. I thank you for your forgiveness. And I don't think we have much. I can't really see. 7 minutes. Okay. Did you get anything out of that? Does that make sense? Oh, Lord, God, we just pray right now. I just thank you for what you're doing here. And we just want your way, God. We just know that you're here. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord. Father, we want to follow Jesus. But it's impossible to follow Jesus when we're hiding in shame. It's impossible to enjoy the gospel. It's impossible to enjoy salvation when we're living in bondage, Lord. And so for any of us in this room right now, who, first of all, if there's anybody in this room that if you were to die today, because here's the reality, guys, and you can keep your eyes closed, Jesus is coming again. But the Bible teaches that when he comes again, it's too late to repent. It's too late to get right. That today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to say, God, I want to be clean. I want my filth to be taken off of me and put on Christ. And I want his cleanliness and his blood to cover me. And I want this weight to be removed from me. Today is the day of salvation for you guys. And so, first of all, if there's anybody in this room that if you were to die today, you're not sure that you would be in heaven. You're not sure that you would be saved. You're not sure that you would be forgiven. You're not confident in the cross of Christ. If you could just raise your hand right now, and we would love to pray with you guys. And then second of all, keep your eyes closed. If there's any of you guys who are just, you're faking it. You know what you're doing is wrong. You're a Christian. You've already trusted in Jesus. You know he's forgiven you, but you're living in darkness and you know it. If that's any of you, then could you raise your hands? All right. And then lastly, you can put your hands down. If any of you in this room are feeling like, I understand that Jesus forgave me, but I can't get away from this guilt. Like this, what's happened in my life is so horrible that what I've done is so bad that I just don't know how he could forgive me. If that's any of you, if that describes any of you, raise your hand. Okay, awesome. Put your hands down, and here's what I want to do right now. Keep your eyes closed. Let's all just pray this. Can you just repeat after me? Just say, Father, I thank you for Jesus. I want to be real with you. I want to walk in the light. I don't want to walk in darkness. I thank you that you've forgiven my sins. Not because of what I do or what I don't do, but because of Jesus, his death on the cross and his resurrection. And so, Father, help me be real. Help me be honest with you. Teach me how to grow closer to you. And fill me with the Holy Spirit. Refresh me. Amen. Thank you, Father. Lord, we just pray. We lift you up and we just rejoice. What's awesome, we didn't have time for it, but the final verse is, be glad in the Lord, of Psalms 32. And rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright. I just want to explain this. When I sin, here's practically what you can do. This you can go back to this and use this. When you fall short, confess your sins to God. Be real. What also is awesome, confess it to somebody that you can trust. Somebody that's not going to rat on you. You know what I mean? Like a mom or a dad, somebody you can trust. Or Rob. Because there's healing when you confess it to a brother. Have you experienced that? You've asked God to forgive you, but there's still some healing that needs to take place. I'm confessing that with somebody that you trust, that's a believer. And then finally, rejoicing in Christ. Like, turn some worship music on. It doesn't matter how you feel. Like, it's all about Jesus, right? So just turning some worship music on and praising him for what he's done. So that's it. Thanks, guys, for being here, and it's good to get to know you guys. So, all right, cool.